Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, 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 good morning, everybody. This is John Jackson in for Aaron Flint this morning. Aaron is up in Great Falls, and he's going to be back on here at 8 a.m. live from up there. And hopefully, we did a whole bunch of testing in here yesterday. We were going back and forth to studios testing that gear, and they think they got it squared away this time. I was telling these guys it was like being a bomb tech. You know, you're just like, okay, don't cut the red wire. Cut the red wire. Oh, wait. Okay, try the blue wire now. You know, and you sit there and just kind of grit your teeth, go over it and cut that blue wire. But there's a whole bunch of technicalities involved in this. It's got to go through this board and this app and that app and the other thing. I don't understand any of it. All that science, I don't understand. It's just my job 5 days a week, right? Rocket Man. But you guys remember the number to call, 406-294-0970. Call in here. It's just going to be us for the next 2 hours. And I wanted to open up here this morning with a quick shout back at COVID. You're seeing now, we're coming up with, we're at the anniversary of 5 years ago is when this whole thing started. This whole boondoggle scam, disgrace, atrocity committed upon the American people by the Biden regime and the media and everybody that could take advantage of it to try to get Donald Trump out of office and use it as an excuse to raid the Treasury to the tune of $6 trillion. And what you're seeing from a lot of the people out in the mainstream media is, oh, yeah, gee whiz, we messed up. Let's just let bygones be bygones. Mistakes were made, right? Mistakes were made. Gee whiz, we're sorry. And can't we all just get along? And we have seen what we did wrong and blah, 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 blah. If you read any of this stuff coming out of the mainstream media, it's all double talk, BS speak. They have not learned a thing. They would not change a thing. They'll go back and do that same thing to you again. Only difference is they'll do it worse. They'll demand absolute lockdowns where you're not allowed out of your house, some of these things that they did in these foreign countries. Make no mistake, none of them have learned a lesson about any of it. None of them are sorry about it, apologetic, nothing. And that is yet another reason why COVID is one of those topics that here during the Trump administration, everybody involved in this needs to be investigated and prosecuted. Because if they are not, they will do this again. Guaranteed. That's the only thing that's going to stop them from doing it again. There is the music coming up, and I need you guys to be back here when we get back from break because we're getting ready to light this joint up. All right? We'll be back here in just a few seconds. This is John Jackson.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine across the area for today, high temperatures stay in the mid upper 60s across areas towards Bozeman, mid 70s for the Billings area. For tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies, lower 40s for most areas, and then the outlook for Thursday calls for a mix of clouds and sun. Highs range from the upper 60s in Bozeman to near 80 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Fobley.
Securing America.
The Senate Intelligence Committee held its annual threat assessment hearing Tuesday. Committee Chair Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas says the threat report placed a new danger at the top of its list this year.
For the first time, the annual threat assessment lists foreign illicit drug actors as the very, very first threat to our country.
Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard explained why.
Cartels were largely responsible for the deaths of more than 54,000 U.S. citizens from synthetic opioids.
That's more than the number killed in any terrorist attack or by a foreign nation. Most of the precursor chemicals for fentanyl comes from China. CIA Director John Ratcliffe says China could crack down on that, but won't because...
There are more than 600 PRC-related companies that produce those precursor chemicals.
And Ratcliffe says they're part of an industry worth $1.5 trillion to the Chinese. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Good morning. Welcome back. This is John Jackson sitting in for Aaron Flint. Like I said, Aaron will be back at 8 a.m. He's up in Great Falls and will come to you live from there at 8 o'clock. Wanted to get into something. I hate to say it, guys, but Montana, we got a problem. We've been actually talking about this on Aaron Flint's radio show for a couple of years now, that the Montana State Republicans have allowed for years these heinous rhinos to be in their midst, to go about their business and sabotage our agenda without any consequences, when they should have been named, shamed, primaried, and booted. And that never happened. So now we have a problem. And that problem right now is called House Bill 275. It is in the House right now. I looked it up this morning. And as of this morning, on their website, they claim it's only been through the second reading. It has passed two readings. Other people say that yesterday they had a third reading, but if they did, they have not updated it on the site. And put real plainly, this is a Democrat bill sponsored by a Democrat. Take it. That's it. There you go. Steer Act One. That's a Democrat bill taken up by Republicans in the Republican-controlled Montana House to give illegals driving permits. Yeah, I'm gonna say that again. To give illegal aliens driving permits. Now stand back and think about that for a second, guys. President Trump. The Republican, President Trump, who was just elected in a landslide, has declared a national emergency on the border and on the invasion of illegal aliens into our country. How are Montana Republicans responding here? By attempting to give driver permits to illegal aliens. And that's their entry point into your society, folks. That's their foot in the door to your society. And they think they're being cute with this stuff, too. And I'm sure that the Democrats are the ones that wrote this stuff into the language here. And I got the bill right in front of me. Because they added in here that you must have proof of lawful presence in the United States. But then they go into the bottom about how you establish that proof of lawful residence. And I'll read it to you. By providing evidence that the applicant is in an asylum process, has temporary protected status, has special juvenile status, is a victim of human trafficking, has employment authorization, la 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 la. Guys, what do you think every single one of these 20 freaking million illegals that Joe Biden let in here has? He let them go in here under the guise that they are asylum seekers. All of them are in here because they're asylum seekers. Okay? That's the scam. That's the loophole in U.S. immigration law that allow Biden to let them in here. Okay? And here's the thing. Although President Trump and his administration is working as hard as they bloody can here to try to get rid of these 20 million of them, it's going to take a long time. I mean, he could work his entire 4 years and still not get them all out. Right now, he's just going after the really, really heinous criminal ones, the ones that have outstanding warrants, the gang members, the terrorists, all that stuff. Okay? But your Montana legislature wants to hand driving permits to all these people that, if this was signed into law here in the next couple of months, they would immediately be eligible for these driving permits. And not only does it give them a foot into your society, it draws more of them here because the word goes out to the entire illegal alien community. We can get driving permits in the state of Montana. We can get ID, legal state ID in the state of Montana. Now, how they got this done was they had 11 heinous rhino Republicans vote with them, vote with the Democrats to get this to pass. They are the following: Brad Barker, David Beatty, Sherry Essman, John Fitzpatrick, Steve Gist, I don't know how to pronounce his name, G-I-S-T, Russ Miner, Valerie Moore, George Nikolakakos, Melissa Nikolakakos, Linda Rexton, and Tracy Sharp. These are also a number of these people. I want to say, Kat's going to call in here in a little bit. I think five of these people are also voting for these other bills that you don't want to see happen about denying employment to illegal aliens. Guys, there is the music. And we're going to talk more about this when I get back. But this has to get stopped. This cannot become law in the state of Montana. And we are going to demand that it gets stopped. All right. Remember, number to call, 406-294-0970. See you back here in a second.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
If we could somehow put climate crusades and all politics on pause, the problem how best to generate electricity could be appreciated as an endlessly fascinating one. Solar power is really quite amazing in many ways. It's simple and it's cheap. It's grown faster from its birth than any other energy source ever. More than 50% of all its new generation projects that apply to be connected to the national grid involve solar power. It's also pretty tiny, at least so far. With no fuel costs, no moving parts, its operating costs are very low. And with continued steep reductions in costs for solar cells, building costs are heading down as well. Its fatal flaw, of course, is not available on demand. Production of electricity from the sun, even on cloudless days, doesn't line up well with when power is needed, especially in the winter. But it's becoming so fantastically cheap, could we not, say, drastically overbuild what we need and still come out ahead on costs? That won't work at night. I'm Patrick Barfi.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. House Republicans excoriated Democrats when they ran the House for permitting remote voting during the pandemic. Lawmakers could literally call in their vote on a bill, amendment, resolution, or motion and have a colleague cast their ballot for them in Washington. This was to accommodate social distancing. Woody Allen famously decreed that 90% of success in life is just showing up. Fast forward to the present. A bipartisan coalition of Democrats and Republicans have the votes to execute a rare parliamentary maneuver and go over the head of House Speaker Mike Johnson. to allow a form of remote voting. It would be for members who are expectant mothers, those who just gave birth, or the spouse of a woman who just gave birth. Those who qualify could vote remotely for 3 months. Republican Anna Paulina Luna of Florida is the main sponsor of the plan, but Johnson opposes remote voting. Quote, I'm afraid the whole thing is unconstitutional, so I've tried to discuss this with Anna, and she's pretty stubborn about it, said Johnson. But Democrats note that Johnson voted remotely 39 times during the pandemic. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Did you and your spouse split last year? Here's what you both need to know when filing your taxes. I'm Jenny Cosola with your Fox Business Tax Tip.
It's the Will Cain Show. Watch it live at noon Eastern, Monday through Thursday on FoxNews.com or on the Fox News YouTube channel. And don't miss a show. Get the podcast 5 days a week at FoxNewsPodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
If you formalized a divorce at any time up until December 31st, then for tax purposes, you are considered split for the entire year. This means you'll now file as single unless you qualify as the head of household or remarried before the end of the year. If you had children, things could become more complicated. CPA Bill Dendy says parents can alternate who claims a child.
The custodial parent can give that right in any tax year to the non-custodial parent, and they can agree amongst themselves on when does it make more sense to have the child on one return and not the other.
Jenny Cosola, Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Egg Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Egg Network. Well, approximately 260 organizations have signed onto the American Sheep Industry Association's annual letter of support for wildlife services, which was shared with appropriation leaders in both the U.S. Senate and House this week. Signers of the letter include trade groups representing farmers, ranchers, pilots, conservationists, and sportsmen. Now, wildlife cause more than $12.8 billion in damage each year to our natural resources, public infrastructures, private property, and agriculture. USDA's Wildlife Services works to prevent, minimize, or manage this damage and to protect human health and safety from conflicts with wildlife. In some other news here on this Wednesday morning, according to AgriPulse, the USDA has suspended at least $500 million in funding originally destined for food banks nationwide, arguing that the Biden administration has created unsustainable expectations for supplementing the Emergency Food Assistance Program through the department's Commodity Credit Corporation Spending Authority. However, a group of 26 Senate Democrats, led by the Senate Ag Committee's ranking member, Amy Klobuchar, out of Minnesota, challenged the USDA's decision, saying that suspending the funding would have a significant and damaging impact upon millions of Americans. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
Calving season this year at Arntz and Angus was very challenging. It would have been worse if not for having a herd that's been built over the past 69 years to handle extreme conditions. Focusing on disposition, calving ease, and overall maternal qualities makes our lives easier. On Thursday, April 3rd, we will host our 49th annual production sale, where we will be offering 210 high-performance bulls that will possess these traits. We also will be selling 20 registered heifers. Join us at the ranch at noon for lunch with the sale to follow at 1. Questions? Call us at 406-462-5557.
Hello, this is Carl Christians, a rancher from East Helena and District 9 Director of Montana Farm Bureau. When those tough decisions get made in Helena, Montana Farm Bureau is at the table. They're not just talk, they're action. They're fighting for your property rights, your water rights, and your livelihood. They get results. If you're serious about agriculture in Montana, you need to be part of the Montana Farm Bureau. Don't just watch things happen, make them happen. Join Montana Farm Bureau today by visiting MFPF.org.
Fitzsimmons, Baltrush Angus invites you to their annual production sale, Monday, April 7th, northeast of Havre, Montana at the Baltrush Ranch. This year offering 40 Black Angus bulls bred for predictability, fertility, efficiency, and longevity through genetics from McCumber Tribute, RM Scotsman, Greigel Bottom Line, and RM Big Easy. Sale time is 1 o'clock. You can bid in person or online at Frontier Live Sale. For complete details and sale catalog, visit FBARanch.com. FBA's top priority is your bottom line. Well, a large number of organizations representing farmers, ranchers, forest owners, agricultural cooperatives, and industry stakeholders have sent a letter to congressional leaders regarding Section 199A in the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. Now, Section 199A has been essential, they say, in keeping co-ops and their farmer and rancher members competitive with corporations that have benefited from permanently reduced corporate tax rate in the 2017 Act. Each year, producer cooperatives pass roughly 95% of the benefits, totaling over $2 billion directly back to farmers and ranchers in rural America. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Well, hey, welcome back. This is John Jackson. We have that last topic got a lot of conversation stirred up. And first of all, on the phones, I have Kat. Kat on line one. What you got there, Kat?
Good morning, John. I'm going to ask you, are you ready for a very uncomfortable conversation here about our Republican lawmakers? Because let's jump right into this absolute mess, okay? This is our lawmaking in Helena, specifically the House, and even more specifically, our own Republican lawmakers voting on bills. And for our morning civics class, okay, those bills then become law. So, just in case, I want to make everybody's on the same page here, okay? These bills become the law. So, we have two bills being voted on in the House. The two bills are the one you just mentioned, which is HB 275. Which allows state driving permits to illegals. And then the topping on the cake here is HB 536, which was voted down. It was brought up for reconsideration yesterday and voted down again. And HB 536 would prohibit illegals from working, okay? So let's be clear. Illegal aliens working and driving also means what? Voting. So we want to prevent this also because illegals working in Montana undercut workers in our state. So the whole name of the game here, John, as you know, that we fight so hard for on social media is not helping illegals undercut our state and our country. Now on to the specific bills. 275, John, you named the 11 Republicans. Would you like me to name them again? We have Brad Barker.
I'm going to get to them again in the second hour. I'd like to hear, I think you told me on social media yesterday that of those 11, there's a certain number of them that also voted down on 536 that did not want to prohibit illegal aliens from working. Who are they?
So these are the names: Sherry Usman, John Fitzpatrick, Melissa Nikolokakos, Valerie Moore, and Melissa's husband, George Nikolokakos, okay? And these are the five that continue popping up on every single bill and voting in lockstep with the Democrats.
Hey, Kat, we got 30 seconds. Go ahead and make your last point.
Okay, so I just want to let you know, we have to name names. Those are the names. Contact your local lawmakers. Let them know that this is unacceptable. They need to start voting with the Republicans and their platform.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Excellent call, and we will be right back. And I see all three. We got the phones lit up. I'm going to get to you guys in just a second. Be right back. We are back, and the phone lines are already lit up. I'm going to see if I can remember who was in the queue first. I think we have Nancy in Roundup was next on line four there. Nancy, what you got?
Hey, good morning, John. I'm telling you, we Americans are sick and tired of this illegal situation, especially here in Montana, after we just had some SOBs from the TDA arrested. And I'm going to tell you something. Trump's making it as difficult as he possibly can. He's cutting funding for the NGOs to churches like the Catholic and Lutheran churches. He has cut funding for HUD. Joe Biden had given billions of dollars to for HUD housing for illegal aliens. This has been cut. All I can say is this. We patriots have to stand behind our president. We have to go hand in hand in this. We're going to have to food banks, I don't care, secondhand stores or whatever you are, churches, whatever. We're going to have to say no to these illegals. We're going to have to make them know that they are unwanted here. And as far as these so-called lawmakers, they are traitors. And we could have a voter recall. I don't believe they should be given a second chance. I think they should be ousted. And I'm concerned, too. I haven't heard any law enforcers, any sheriffs on this situation. I hope some of them call into the show today, John, and ask questions because they have more power in counties than even the county commissioners. I'd like to hear their take on this, about this driver's license thing, because, yes, this is what California did it, Illinois did it, New York did it, and these illegals registered to vote. We just simply can't have it. It's disrupting our lives way, way, way too much.
Outstanding, outstanding. Nancy, thank you very much for the call. And we've got, who else we got here? I think next it would be Gary. Gary up in, where are you in? Gary in Billings. There you are.
I'm in Billings. Hey, these two bills that you've been talking about, can't Gianforte sign off? He won't sign off on them, will he?
Yeah.
So they can become...
We're hoping, you know, you would hope that, first of all, you would hope it doesn't make it past the House, but then you would hope the Senate would also put it down, not forward it, and then the governor can always veto it, yes.
Yeah, I can't imagine the governor allowing these bills going through.
You would surely hope not. You would surely hope not.
If not, we don't have any leg to stand on.
Exactly. And we've got to get our arms right around this now and not let this go any further.
So where are these people at? Which counties are these people at where they're doing this? They were elected as Republicans, and now they're not. I mean...
Yeah, and I did not write down their districts. I don't know where they're from, but...
That's all we need to... Yeah. That's all we need to know, the districts.
Hey, there is the bumper music. We will be right back here in just a second. I see we got two more people on the line out there. And I see we got Pam and we got Robert. And we will get to you right when we get back. You guys stay on the line.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Hey, we are back. We're back, and we got callers on the line. We have got Robert in Roundup and Pam in North Carolina. Robert, you are first. What do you have for us this morning, sir?
Well, the thing about the illegals, or going and getting licenses, the one thing that no one has really said much about is every time I'm going to get a license, they always ask for proof of residency, and they're more concerned about you paying for the license. And one of the questions that they ask is, would you like to register to vote?
Yep.
And they never ask for proof of citizenship, and I don't even know if it's a requirement to prove self. To register, but I think that's why a lot of the states really push for these illegals to get driver's licenses.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hey, thank you very much for the call, Robert. Yeah, you're dead on, and we had a bunch of people tell us yesterday that had lived in California. That's exactly what happened in California. They started this off years ago, getting these people, you know, in big quotes, driver's permits, and next thing you know, they were getting registered to vote. Yeah, it's that slippery slope. Like I said in the opening, it gives them the foot in the door into your society, the foot in the door to legitimize them. All right, let's see. We got Pam in North Carolina on line one. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning, John. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing good. I want to go over a few points that I have pulled out from the new election integrity executive order that the president signed yesterday.
Yes, ma'am.
This is giving the Homeland Security the oversight. And under Homeland Security, there will be an election assistant committee. This is everything that we've asked for. This is like the golden ticket for elections. You will be required to show proof of citizenship. We will have uniform day of voting, one day voting. No ballots will be accepted after the cutoff time. It will prohibit foreign nationals from voting. It will also prohibit foreign money into the elections. The states are to maintain accurate voter rolls. Now, this is already in place, but a lot of states say that they cannot ensure the voter rolls. They've not taken any steps to ensure it, but now they'll have to because they're on the take for it. Within 30 days of the signature, the Election Assistant Committee would be formed, and they will decide the documents that prove citizenship. This is laid out per item in the EO, so anyone can go to whitehouse.gov and pull this up. It's very simple to do, and it'll tell you all the documents. You can use real ID from your state. You can use your passport. You can use a military ID. And there's a couple of other options there, but these are the big three. There's also going to be a DOGE administrator assigned to this to review all the information that comes in from the states. So there'll be a team that will go through all of the information that the state sends in before an election will happen. Now, to verify people who are U.S. citizens, you'll be able to use the Social Security database, which we know that they're cleaning up now. And if you're on Social Security, you have a new form to fill out where you have to go in and verify who you are and your citizenship. Some people have already done this, especially if you signed up for benefits in the last probably 5 years. You've already been through this process. Again, they will be able to use the DOD for military verifications. And the U.S. attorney is going to be the prosecuting entity on this. So if they find any instances where the information is not right, it looks like it's been altered, then the U.S. attorney will step in immediately.
I saw that. Then.
Another thing.
Pam is right on this topic of a executive order that President Trump is, I think he signed yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. And I want to run this by you, Pam. This is great. All of this stuff needs to happen. Some of the stuff she was listing there about election integrity, and he is ordering it as an executive order. The only problem with some of it is, see, unfortunately, it says right there in the Constitution that states run their elections. So you can see them immediately getting stays and injunctions and all this. And you could see, obviously, you could see the Supreme Court say that it says right in the Constitution. But see, I think the way in for the Trump administration is federal elections. When it comes to your congressmen, your senators, and the president, those are federal elections. So I think the federal government should have a say in how that is carried out.
And they will, according to the documents. Now, here's another couple of key points that we need to keep in mind. If the committee, the Election Assistance Committee, finds any problem with anything that the state has submitted, they can immediately freeze all federal funding to the state.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Another thing is, what?
Go ahead.
Okay, another thing is the ballots will not have barcode or Q codes on them. So there'll be no way for a second party to track this as the voting happens. And no voting machines, it looks like. They will be able to use a tabulator,
But again, there'll be no barcodes or Q codes on them, so they cannot be separated in any form or fashion.
Hey, Pam, thank you very much. I got to let you go here because we have on the other line, we have Speaker Brandon Lear of the House who's going to give us the legislative update. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing well. And yourself?
Good, good. What do you have for us this morning, sir?
Well, this week in the Montana legislature, lawmakers are taking action on quite a wide range of bills, from electric vehicle mandates to child welfare, tax relief for seniors, and a whole lot more. So we're plugging right along. We're just about two-thirds of the way through, and keeping moving.
Mr. Speaker, I'm gonna have to put you on the spot here this morning. I don't know if you were listening earlier, but myself, I know Aaron Flint, and all of Aaron Flint's listeners are very upset about this, particularly about this HB 275, along with the 536 bill, but particularly this 275 bill. And we've got 11 alleged Republicans voting with the Democrats to pass this thing. Where are we with this, sir?
Yeah, so that is Representative Staffman's bill. It only passed on second reading by just a few votes. I got up and spoke against it. He wants to have a driving privilege card, not a driver's license, for these legal immigrants, not necessarily that they're legal citizens, but legal immigrants. And we hung 48-42, I think is what it was. There was one member on the Democrat side that was absent. That's why you don't quite get 100 there. It's not a good bill. The proverbial camel's nose under the tent. I'm afraid, they're going to be able to vote with these cards. And the United States recognizes well over 100 different countries' driver's licenses already as valid, not necessarily valid to vote, but valid to drive. So if they're here legally and they don't have a driver's license in their own country, why should we give them one? Anyway, my point being, we hung enough votes on that to where hopefully Republican votes on that to where, and I am disappointed that that passed. But we hung enough votes on that hopefully the Senate can get rid of it. And if not, the governor will have a well enough reason to veto that bill. So there is a lot of stopgaps there, but I will take the buck on that one that we, it passed out of committee, and it shouldn't have. And it should definitely not have made it across my floor. But we did have quite a few no votes on that. So hopefully we'll lobby the governor and we'll make sure that the Senate, does their best to kill it too.
Excellent. That's what we want to hear. And you watch Democrats statewide and watch them nationally as well. They tolerate no dissent in their ranks. You must be on board with their agenda or you're out. And that's what we have to start doing in our crew. We just cannot tolerate these rhinos in our tent any longer. Hey, there's the music, sir. We have got to go. Thank you very much for the call. Thank you for the update. And we will be back here right after the break coming up, and we will continue.
The truth and nothing but. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The Biden administration funding transgender experiments on animals intended to improve so-called gender-affirming care for humans is now officially coming to an early end thanks to Doge and Elon Musk shining a light on this gruesome research. Congressman Eli Crane told JustTheNews.com last month that the House Oversight Committee documented $241 million in taxpayer funding for transgender surgery and treatments on animals. Many of the figures cited at a recent hearing on federally funded animal cruelty came from the White Coat Waste Project, which documented $10 million spent on transgender rodent and monkey experiments.
Keeping you on the straight path. Later today, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Artificial intelligence, AI, it's all you hear about. But how far away is it? And what are the potential threats from AI that could totally upend the way Americans live their lives? What will it do to the job market? What will the unemployment rate be? What does it mean for data privacy or cybersecurity? How about the banking system or national security? The ECB has already warned about a bubble in AI stocks. Could this spread to other sectors? If you have $50,000 or more saved for retirement, this may not be the time to wait and find out. Learn how you could help protect your life savings using precious metals like gold and silver. Right now, you can get a free gold and silver kit from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. On top of that, you could get up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver with a qualified account. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. One more time, visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine across the area for today, high temperatures staying in the mid and upper 60s across areas towards Bozeman, mid 70s for the Billings area. For tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies, lower 40s for most areas, and then an outlook for Thursday calls for a mix of clouds and sun. Highs range from the upper 60s in Bozeman to near 80 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
Hey, last week when there was rumor of cartel activity on the Fort Peck Indian Reservation, there were also rumors about something going on in Havre, Montana. Well, now we know why. U.S. Border Patrol Havre Sector confirming on their Facebook page that a U.S. citizen has been arrested for aiding in the smuggling of three Tren de Aragua illegal alien gang members. That's out of Havre, Montana. We've got the full story. Go to MontanaTalks.com for that and much.
You got me!
The galaxy's safe once again!
Sometimes kids play with pretend guns. It's up to us to make sure they don't play with real ones. Keep yours stored locked and unloaded. Learn more at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Friend.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlocki.
In theory, our system of government is made up of three co-equal branches, the executive, the legislative, and the judicial. I say in theory because the judicial branch at both the state and federal levels routinely runs roughshod over the other two branches. In theory, we have three co-equal branches, but in practice, the judicial branch sees itself as a little more equal than the other two. For the past 3 months, federal judges have been usurping the power of the presidency in matters that are clearly within the president's purview. Is the president always right? No. And when he usurps the powers reserved to Congress, or as in the case of birthright citizenship, attempts to unilaterally amend the U.S. Constitution by decree, the court should provide a check on those actions. However, the courts have in many cases gone too far, and Congress and the president are rightfully pushing back. One of the most activist courts is the D.C. District Court, and a recent article in The Federalist exposed the fact that a third of the judges on the D.C. District Court were not born in the United States and had no prior judicial experience when appointed. Also, not surprisingly, they were all appointed by either President Obama or President Biden. Fortunately, Congress and the president have had enough. The president on Monday flat refused to give D.C. District Chief Judge James Bosberg any more information on the deportation of members of the Venezuelan gang Tren de Aragua. And yesterday, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson threatened to defund and disband the D.C. District Court entirely, a move that is entirely within the powers of the U.S. Congress. The action seems extreme, but as Speaker Johnson said, desperate times call for desperate measures. Unfortunately, the same can be said for the courts right here in Montana, especially the Montana Supreme Court. For years, our Supreme Court, arguably one of the most activist and overturned courts in the nation, has done its best to block nearly every significant piece of conservative legislation enacted by the legislature and the governor, even recently going so far as to declare that children as young as 12 have complete procreative autonomy, meaning kids in middle school get to make sexual decisions for themselves regardless of their parents' input. Just as at the federal level, the Montana legislature is pushing back hard, and today in-house judiciary will testify again in support of Senate Bill 42, a bill to force judicial candidates to declare a party affiliation when they run. It's the quickest and simplest route to true judicial reform. If we're honest with ourselves, we have to admit that we know little to nothing about the judicial candidates when we step into the voting booth. In reality, it's a crapshoot. Those opposed to the bill say it will introduce partisanship into the courts, but the truth is, they're already partisan. Our current system simply allows left-leaning liberal judges to hide behind a facade of nonpartisanship. This system works well in other states, and it would work here too. We're coming down to the wire, and if we don't get some kind of significant judicial reform, this legislative session will have been all for naught. Left-leaning groups like Planned Parenthood and the ACLU will file lawsuits the day after the legislature adjourns, and with the help of liberal judges, will overturn every significant piece of legislation passed by conservatives this session. Senate Bill 42 has already passed the Senate, but faces strong headwinds by a small group of moderate Republicans in the House. Will it eventually pass? Only time will tell, but we're doing everything in our power to see that it does. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlofy reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
Hey, we are back. This is Montana Talks. We just got a minute here. I want to make a real quick correction. Sherry Esmond voted no on the third reading of House Bill 275. But we are going to get into that more in the second hour. So keep it up. Keep calling, guys. Keep up the pressure. 406-294-0970. We are going to make our voices heard, and we are going to stop this nonsense. Guaranteed.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
If we could somehow put climate crusades and all politics on pause, the problem of how best to generate electricity could be appreciated as an endlessly fascinating one. Solar power is really quite amazing in many ways. It's simple and it's cheap. It's grown faster from its birth than any other energy source ever. More than 50% of all its new generation projects that apply to be connected to the national grid involve solar power. It's also pretty tiny, at least so far. With no fuel costs, no moving parts, its operating costs are very low. And with continued steep reductions in costs for solar cells, building costs are heading down as well. Its fatal flaw, of course, is it's not available on demand. Production of electricity from the sun, even on cloudless days, doesn't line up well with when power is needed, especially in the winter. But it's becoming so fantastically cheap, could we not, say, drastically overbuild what we need and still come out ahead on costs? That won't work at night. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.